Thank you, Brother David and Pastor Gamble. We're so thankful to be here and wish we had time to just fellowship for a few moments, but as you know, we do not. And I love how he handed off probably the hardest assignment of the year to preach in 15 minutes to someone else. But I am thankful for the privilege. You know, growing up here, so many of you had such a huge impact on my life. I was reflecting on some of that this morning coming, and it was in this church, of course, that I was saved as just a boy. And then I remember after a month or two of just battle, I still remember as I was sitting over here, it was somewhere over on this side of the auditorium, that I finally surrendered and gave up and surrendered my life to preach the gospel as just a 16-year-old boy. And so many wonderful memories here, and so thankful for what God is doing, so thankful that God directed the Gambles here. Amen? And they were just with us last weekend in our marriage retreat in Alabama, and such a blessing. And we do appreciate your prayers for our family as we relocate back to the promised land. God has brought us back to the promised land, and we're so excited about that. Psalm 107 is the text this morning. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to look at, and we won't be able to go into detail of all 32 verses, so we're just going to read the first three verses and then talk through the rest of the verses this morning. The psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." And I'd ask you, if you would, to say with me aloud, verse number 2. Let's say it together. Ready? "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again together in this place. We're thankful for Your work here, what You've done, what You are doing, what You are going to do. And Lord, we pray this morning for the next few moments that Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that we as Your people would come before You and Your Word humbly and, Lord, honestly. And I pray, God, that You would speak to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This has become, in recent months, one of my favorite psalms. It is a rich psalm. It is a psalm of praise. I love verse number 1 as it sets the stage. And it says, "Oh, give thanks," and notice this, "unto the Lord." A lot of times we hear a lot about thanksgiving, but it's very generic. It's very general ways of thanking God for things. The psalmist says, who does our thanks go to? It goes to the Lord. It is the Lord who has redeemed us. It is the Lord who has done great things for us. And then he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." And I love this last phrase, "for His mercy endureth forever." You see, our praise ought to go way beyond just the temporary things, the roof over our head, the food on our table. We ought to be thankful for those things. But the psalmist says our greatest thanks is not for the temporary things that God has done for us, but that His mercy endures forever. And we are recipients of His mercy. We are recipients of the grace of God. And so it is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a reflection of our redemption. He says, we are to give thanks those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he says that He's gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And we won't go into a long introduction, but this is a psalm that the children of Israel would have sang many times in the temple because they had been delivered from the hand of God time and time again. They had had national deliverance. They had had physical deliverance, but even greater than a picture of physical deliverance, this is a great picture of spiritual deliverance. It is a great spirit, a great picture of redemption, spiritual redemption that you and I have in Jesus Christ. So as we read it, we can see that it not only applies to the redemption of Israel, but it applies to you and I who have been redeemed from the hand of the Lord. And it's a unique psalm in that it gives really four testimonies throughout the psalm. You'll see, if we were to have four people come up here this morning and give their testimony, they would all be very different testimonies, but there would be one common theme, and that is the mercy and the grace of God that has redeemed them from sin.
And so as you read through this psalm, there are really four testimonies. In verses 4-9, you see the testimony of a wanderer or travelers that had no city to dwell in. In verses 10-14, you see the testimony of prisoners who were bound by the shackles of their rebellion and their choices. They were near judgment for their crime. And then thirdly, there is a testimony of the sick and the afflicted in verses 17-20, and they're facing certain death. They're at the point of death, and it is death not because of just natural causes. The Bible makes it clear that it is death brought upon by poor choices. And then there's a fourth testimony from the sailors that were in imminent danger and in trouble. As I read this psalm, I can't help, Brother Gamble, of thinking about our time here at Shenandoah Baptist Church and the opportunity that God gave us for many years to work in the boys' home and the girls' home, and just to see people come through the church here and to see lives that have been changed. Lives that had no hope, and lives that were wandering aimlessly, and lives that were gripped by addiction, and lives that were on their way to hell, that God reached down and He redeemed them in their state. And their testimonies all over, people all over the world today, literally all over the world, who came through this ministry, that God saved them and He redeemed them and He set their feet upon a rock and He established their goings and He gave them something worth living for. And so the psalmist says, think back, reflect back on your redemption, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When lost people come into a service like this morning, they ought to see by our praise, they ought to hear by our praise that we believe what we are singing about. That we believe what we are preaching about. And so we ought to lift our voices in praise to the Lord. Do you remember that time in your life? Do you remember the time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He at that moment redeemed your life? I want to just give you four things this morning that you'll find in all four of these testimonies, and we'll just kind of skim through them this morning, but point out these things. Number one, I want you to notice the problem of the unredeemed. The problems of the unredeemed. These people were in a predicament, all of them. Their problems were many. If you were to read in verse 4 and 5, the wanderers and the travelers, they found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and they were thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. This is representative of those of us who, before salvation, we were searching and we were living life aimlessly with no purpose and no goal and no direction. And we were seeking for this to fill our life and for that to fill our life. And we were putting all these things into our life to try to find joy, to try to find hope, to try to find happiness, and realizing that all those things bring emptiness. The problems of the unredeemed are great. We see in verses 10-12 the problem of the prisoner, that they sat in darkness, in the shadow of death. Their execution is upon them. They're bound in their afflictions and irons. It says because they rebelled against the word of God. God brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They were lost in the wilderness, wandering, but they were also locked up in a prison. They were in trouble. They were in chains. It was a bleak sight. And I want you to think back this morning to before Christ redeemed you, how bleak it was. That we were sinners, that we were lost, that we had no hope. He says of the sick and the sick that were sick unto death, that their problems were that they were fools because of their sin. They're afflicted. Their soul abhors, it hates food, and they draw near to the gates of death. It says of the sailors in verses 25-27 that God raises the stormy winds that lift up the waves. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Notice what it says. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wits' end. Their wisdom is swallowed up. They had no ability to guide their boat. They were in the middle of a storm facing imminent death. A picture of you and I before our salvation. Wandering aimlessly, locked in prison. Many at the place of death, at the point of death physically because of sin that had wrecked our lives. And wandering out in a sea of sin. Wandering aimlessly. And let us remember that these are storms that God brings. These are storms that God directs into our life for a specific purpose, and that is to drive us to Him. All of these people are in need of being delivered. All of them have problems in life. The wonders need a place of security. The prisoner needed freedom. The sick needed healing. The sailor needed rescued. And let me say this morning, if you are here and there has never been a time when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection, that you need to be redeemed. That you this morning are seeking security, you're seeking freedom, you're seeking healing, you're seeking to be rescued from the grip that sin has upon our life. And those of us that have experienced that, may we look back this morning with a heart of gratitude and thankfulness and praise to our great God who has redeemed us. The truth is, the way of the transgressor is hard. And we could spend more time talking about this, but we see our sin this morning. That's the problem of the unredeemed. It's our sin. Peter, in his first sermon at Pentecost, he told the people, "You are the ones that are responsible for the death of Christ." And not every person in that crowd was physically there at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But what he was saying is that all of us, as sinners, our sin put Jesus on the cross. The wages of our sin is death. Friend, that's a great problem. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We see not only the problem of the unredeemed, notice quickly the plea to be rescued. In verses 6 and 13 and 19 and 28, in all four of these testimonies, it says exactly the same thing. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. They arrived at the end of their human resources. There was no hope. There was no human help in sight. There was only one solution, and that was to call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, we can rejoice this morning because God takes pleasure in hearing the desperate call of salvation. There was not one person in this story that was not rescued when they called out to God. God called them. Aren't you thankful this morning for the good news of Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you find yourself this morning wandering or gripped by addiction or lost and there's no hope and there's no purpose in your life, I want to encourage you this morning that God accepts calls of desperation. God accepts the one that says, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He will reject the call of pride, of self-righteousness, wrapped in religion that says, "I'm a good person, look at all I've done." But He will accept the cry of a desperate sinner who calls out to Him. The plea to be rescued. We see the problem of the unredeemed. Notice certainly the provision granted to those that call. In verses 6 and 7, again, we see the wonder of the travelers that He delivered them out of their distresses, the Bible says. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Hey, if you accept Jesus Christ, when you are redeemed, God gives your life purpose. He gives your life direction. To the prisoner, it says in verse 13 and 14 that He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their bands in sunder in pieces. About the sick unto death, it says in verse 19 and 20, He saved them out of their distress. He sent His word and He healed them and delivered them from their destruction. In verses 28 through 30, it says of the sailors that He brought them up out of their distresses. He made the storm calm. He brought them to their desired haven. What a contrast here from the problem. What a contrast to the deliverance that God brings from the problem. There is only one that could rescue these, and that was Jehovah God. There is only one who can rescue from you and I from a sinful condition, and that is God through Jesus Christ. I love what Spurgeon says. He says, "If hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful than feasting. If thirst drives us to the fountain, it is better than the deepest drinks of worldly joy. If weakness leads us to prayer, it is better than the strength of the mighty." Thank the Lord when we find ourselves in a desperate place in need of God, because it is in those moments that we can cry out to the Lord and He will hear our cry of salvation. Charles Wesley said, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. That is the deliverance that we have. That is the provision given to us. And we could preach a whole sermon just on the provision given to us in the death of Jesus Christ. But then lastly, I want you to notice the praise of the redeemed. In verses 8 and 9 and 15 and 16 and 21 and 22 and 30, 31 and 32, again, we see the same phrase. And at the end of all these testimonies, this is what he says: "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Can you say that with me? Just look at verse number 8 and say it aloud with me. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." He satisfies the longing soul and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let the redeemed, that's what he says in verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them lift up their voices when you go to work tomorrow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let people around you know that you have been redeemed. You have been rescued by God. Let us lift our voices. Let us lift our voices in thanksgiving. Let us live our lives in thanksgiving for what God has done for us and what He has saved us from. And may the people that are around us and the people that are here us see something very different about our life, that we live life with joy and hope and peace because we have been redeemed. How can we who have tasted of the mercy of God and the grace of God, how can we sit in ungrateful silence? Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of Thy name. Have you been redeemed this morning from the hand of the enemy? If you have, how thankful are you? Just a reminder this morning to reflect on the redemption that we have in God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.